your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin' or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the street. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. That love, I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. That love, I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? I'm about to have a plug, I'm about to have a plug. Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
That's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Around the world, that's coming to an end. But the world as we know it, amen, is going to change, going to be what God intended, going back to the Garden of Eden style life, amen, without all this chaos and craziness. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you and we do bless you for this honor and this opportunity to come before you. Amen. We thank you for it. Amen. Because it costs. Amen. You spent the life of your first begotten Son. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the great exceeding power you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with a clearer understanding of how your love of Christ operate, the length, the width, the breadth, the depth of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the spiritual courage and the strength to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. Amen. Let it be all of you and none of me in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're still on the topic of prayer war, and that's what it's about. You know, I remember one day a pastor came in and he made a statement, one of them what I call epiphany shocking statements, and it was every failure is a prayer failure. You know, I mean, when he made that statement, I got a flash picture of the White House, amen, in America, and Congress, amen, and knowing that if he says something, he's got every scripture in the Bible to support what he says, and that is accurate, but it is a revelation of what God is going to bring about. And, you know, the fact of prayer, you know, is essential. You know, we operate a worldwide ministry. Amen. And it is steadily setting up churches and church schools, ministry schools throughout the world. That get done first in prayer. That's where the earnest part is done. And throughout the years that I've been there, that has been essential, a teaching, a primary teaching, that to get us past the religious, ritualistic mindset of praying. You know, this is how things get done, because to do something like that take millions of dollars. To get people to unloose their money, and you know, let's be real. Most saints in most churches, the 20% that do all the praying are probably the ones that do the most support of the church. But to get it done, of that something of that magnitude takes prayer, and that's because Satan will oppose it naturally, because we are his enemy, he is our enemy, we are not friends at all. And this is something you have to be conscious of. You know, I watch, you will find in most churches that group that stands strongly behind the pastor and serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have troubled lives. Amen. You go, you know, so don't be surprised if you're the person that you know you pray, the praying people, the giving people, Satan coming after you. Without you, he has no opposition. So don't be surprised when things like that happen, you know. With pause to what James said, think it not strange when you encounter fiery trials, fiery, F-I-E-R-Y, I mean fierce fiery. I mean, consistent, strong, fiery, okay? Because it comes with the territory. A praying person is a threat to the kingdom of Satan. You are, you know, the artillery section. I can't think of, there's some war movies that I've watched, you know, and I can't think of them right now. But, you know, typically when they would go to battle, the battleships, armament would focus on the shoreline and as far inward as they could, they would launch these giant projectiles. You know, a bomb is often like 3 feet in length and about 16 inches in diameter. For some reason, they had rules on that, you know. But it would launch and it would travel miles. And what it would do is reduce the amount of opposition to the landing parties. And that's what goes on with war, you know, I mean, with prayer. You, before a pastor goes somewhere or engages in an activity, the prayer warriors take down the enemy. They launch an attack against the enemy, against Satan, you know, before the pastor or the minister or the evangelist enter the territory. You know, our outreach team, before they go out on the street to minister to witness to people, they spend 1 to 2 hours mostly, or generally between 1.5 and 2 hours just praying before they hit the streets. And that does, because one, you're doing two things. You have to knock the enemy off of those that are going to be encountered by the ministry teams, and soften the heart of those who have that are going to be ministered to. All this is done in the spiritual realm. You know, you have to do this. This is a mandate that we have to pray. This is why we were empowered to pray. You know, it's significant, particularly at this time in history where we are coming to the close of an era. And I can't stress this or overstress this enough. And the fact that God has me going over this again and has pastors going over this again, and I'm seeing on YouTube ministries going over this again, is because nothing gets done without it. I posted on YouTube, Facebook today, just a brief statement about a part of a car, an engine. You know, when you build a motor, I had somehow a part disappeared on me. I don't know. Well, you know that just happens. You know, demons steal stuff. Anyway, it's a little rubber ring. I mean, if you saw it, it doesn't look significant in comparison to the rest of the motor. It's not made out of metal, but it's very significant in that it holds the oil inside the motor while it is running. And it has to resist the pressure of the oil trying to push out. And like I say, it doesn't look that significant, but it is very vital, because if it springs a leak, the oil drains out, the motor burns up, and boom, it dies. A car brake, this breaks the brake device caliber, as it would be called. Inside it has what is called a piston that pushes up against the brake pads that causes the car to stop. You know, I once encountered a set of brakes, the brakes that went out on the car, and when I pulled the brake apart and I pulled the caliper apart, the ring, the little rubber ring around the piston that seals it, that holds the brake fluid in the car, had a cut about the width of an eyelash. That was amazing. The width of an eyelash. You had to understand what this thing does. This is a rubber ring. It was about 1.5 inches in diameter. It was an insignificant, inexpensive part, but yet it had to withstand pressure. And that's what we have to do as saints, because, I mean, without us, you know, I know a lot of people want to get out front and be seen, and they think they do anyway. They have no idea. The folk out front get shot at the most. I mean, that's typical warfare. Anyway, I'm saying all this to say that you as an individual, your little bit of time at prayer, your 5 minutes at prayer for your pastor and for those that are serving in your church, for you and your family, is very significant. Your time praying for the president, your governor, your Congress, it's very important, because the people, you know, only God keeps a record of it, okay? And people will not know until you die. But see, this is also a part of being blessed to God. We're the only ones with that capability, the body of Christ. People can pray, but I don't speak for what other people believe. I just know what my God say. He the only God, and he answers prayer. So apparently, with all the chaos and drama going on, it's not enough prayer going on. It really ain't, you know. But, all right, so let's read our mantra scripture, our head scripture, and let's go to Luke chapter 18 before I go elsewhere. And it is Jesus speaking and reading here. This one out of the KJV, King James Version. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. In other words, he's making a parable to encourage them. And he relates to, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. She came to him and saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, through though he bear long with them? Like I said, everything that God is doing in the earth, he does through man. Everything that Satan does in the earth, he does through man, except that they don't have authority over us. You know, we recently here in Michigan in May 2022, because in case somebody listening to this after the rapture or down the road, a city not far, well, far from here, it's about 150 miles away from us, called Gaylord. They just recently had a tornado, and it tore the place up, as tornadoes do. I know it seems strange that, I would have to say of an enormity that for me to say that happened because of a lack of prayer. Or either a lack of qualifying for prayer. You know, let me read you something here in Ephesians. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Maybe it'll read a little clearer. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Understand this, that this was not done in a vacuum. God understands everything that God is doing, everything that is getting done, and was known. When you read in Genesis 1:26, it says, male and female created he them. At that point, God knew everything that was going to happen with everybody. Okay? You know, I heard this man of God, an apostle of God, say that God is in your future. See? And we have to catch up with where God is going. This is incumbent. And that's one thing prayer will do. It will make you sensitive to God, and he can better direct you in his will. You know, this air goes, every failure is a prayer failure, because we'll be out of the will of God. As for you, reading Ephesians 2:1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, a.k.a. Satan. That's one of his aliases, the prince of the power of the air. Okay? This calls him the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now, I'm bringing this up because, like most people, we tend to, during the year, all around, depending on rain or the wind, experience blackouts. And one time we had a blackout, and I asked God about it because I'm at that place where I want to know. And I asked him, how did that happen? And he simply said, you didn't say nothing. Now, in that particular instance, I wasn't really expecting nothing. I don't really remember the wind, or I can't really recall any warning other than the fact that it just, the power just went out. But anyway, and actually, ironically, I thought I had caused it. I don't know, because I had turned the air on and boom, everything went black. But from that point on, I started seeking God as to dealing with the weather. I mean, we know Jesus dealt with the weather. You know, I believe in Mark chapter 4, where anyway, when he was going, the disciples, they were crossing, I believe, when they were crossing a body of water, and the wind had gotten boisterous, and they were concerned, and he was back in the boat asleep, and I understand that. I mean, I'm getting closer to that day when I were on a boat, too. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, and he spoke to the wind. Now, see, you got to understand. I know if we think, and I hear people tell me that that was Jesus. No, listen, he's the head, all right? We're the body. Now, the difference is we, God manifests through us, but Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. I'm not going to argue that, debate that with you. As a matter of fact, this is my whole point. Because I have learned my authority in the body of Christ, I have a deal with DT, with the energy company, you know, but I don't need to because, or in other words, they'll charge me less, a little bit less, if I allow them to turn my power down when they think it's necessary. But when I hear the wind getting up boisterous, when I can hear the wind, Or I know that the weatherman has announced that a storm is coming and that the winds are going to be strong and the rain is going to be strong, whatever it is, or the snow is going to be strong, I begin to address the prince of the power of the air. And I command angels to defend my power grid. Now, there's a consciousness that goes with that, or a criteria that goes with all the promises of God, okay? Now, and that is we have to live by a certain standard. Matter of fact, so that's my segue into 1 Samuel chapter 12. Amen. We're going back in the Old Testament, and we're going to do some New Testament, and we're going to show what God has consisted in this area, because as we move forward in time, and I mean, I'm hearing that there are men of God that say they're not prophets. I don't know why they, and I know why they say they're not prophets, because they don't want the trouble to come with being a prophet. And believe me, it comes, because you've been identified as a prophet, then Satan, that prophets hear from God. It don't just automatically happen. You it's a process. They spend time. They push back their plate. They will shut off TV. They're not spending all 5-6 hours on Facebook. With, you know, they're not doing it on TikTok. You know, they might go through there and find some people to pray for, and that's about it. But God will, if you will listen, John 16:13, I believe. Let me look that up. I want to get it right for the new people. I want them to know how we can know things before they happen. You know, he said he will show you things to come. See, All right. Yes, that's right. I quoted it right. It said, how be it when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come. This was Jesus talking before his death, burial, and resurrection. He will guide you into all truth. Okay, and I don't know why people get, that tells me that when a person is not in the truth of the word, that's a choice they made. There's no democracy or freedom of religion in the kingdom of God. It's God's way or no way at all. It says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he only hears what God says. And he will show you things to come. Now, you know, we know things to come. NASA know now. They finally admit it after too many people have called them out that there's a meteor coming to hit the earth. April 13, 2029, I personally believe we will be gone. I believe we will be gone about 3.5 years, you know. People can debate it. You know, God has not appointed us to wrath, as it says in his word. I mean, that's what he does, you know. Understand, he's given us clear warning. I mean, this life, you choose to live right. And like I said, that's one of the criteria. That's why you should live right. It gives you access to the power of God. You secure in that. You don't waver in that. See, when people waver, they have questions. It's because they're not spending enough time with God. Because see, as I've said in the past, God won't let you get out of order when he knows you are trying to do his will in every aspect of your life. That's the challenge. That actually can make life exciting. And it does something to you. God is I'm telling you, he's awesome. He really is. He is awesome. He's not looking for you to fail. He wants you to understand because for those that may be new to it, third gen man where we are going has tremendous amount of power. And that's what this is about. Prayer is come by humbling yourself. It means reducing. That means you draw back and let God come forward. You draw back from what you think and what you want and let God have his way. Amen. Anyway, so here it is, Samuel. He's dealing with the children of Israel. Samuel is a prophet of God. I guess I should get it here. Okay. All right. Let me make sure I got this right. People said, I'm being afraid. Okay. All right. Yeah, I got the right place. All right. This is 1 Samuel chapter 12. Amen. And I'm going to start with verse 18. Hallelujah. It said, then Samuel called upon the name of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to read through this first before I do a characterization. Then Samuel called upon the name of the Lord. That same day the Lord sent thunder and rain so that all the people stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel. The people all said, Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way of the Lord that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has already done for you. I added the already in there. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Now let me catch y'all up. For some of you, there was a period of time, always from the time Israel left Egypt to up until this particular point in time in history, God was their king alone. And he spoke to them through the leadership, a.k.a. the prophets. Okay, and God made it clear if the prophets speak a thing and it doesn't come to pass, it was not a thing of the Lord. Amen. And unlike us, they did not have the Bible and history and men and events to show them the way of the Lord. They was getting this hot off the press and living it out. Okay? So God cut them a lot of slack, without question. But anyway, what had happened was Samuel's sons actually had, because Samuel was the lead prophet and his sons worked in the temple, but they were so corrupt. They was in there sleeping with the women, stealing the money, and they were just they were more corrupt than the previous prophet who had pissed God off so bad that God killed him and his sons. But God told Samuel, "Your son's gonna die." Y'all parents need to remember this part. This is in 1 Samuel chapters 1-8. You need to read that. Because if you do all that you can, this is just a seg, this is a FYI for you parents. You do all you can, you pray for your children, you walk up right before them, and they still turn out crazy, you'll get the same thing Samuel get. God, Samuel was blessed all his life, even though his sons died. I know that hurt when people lose children, but sometimes losing them at a certain age, an early age, is actually a preservation so they don't have to spend eternity in hell. Okay, and that's a lot of parts to that anyway. But that one thing about it, you respect the Lord, respect the man of God. All right, the key factor here that I want to focus on is what Samuel said in verse 23, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord for failing to pray." Saints, we have been given tremendous amount of power. Acts 1:8, it's so simple. It says, "After that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power." What power? This is not a GMC supercharger attached to the top of your head. We're not talking about electricity coming from the fact. We're talking about having access to the power of the Lord God Jehovah himself. Okay? This is what this is about, and because it is so tremendous, it is far tremendous than we know, because we don't get to use much of it. Even when we see a miracle, and I recently saw a creative miracle where a person's arm grew out, and I mean, I've seen these things in time. I've seen emaciated patient dying from AIDS get restored. I've seen this thing, you know, a deaf mute girl get a hearing and a voice that she never had before, you know. So I've seen this, and I've experienced it. I walked into church one night, haven't been on drugs for 10 years, and, you know, I was a functional drug addict. I heard a conversation about that, you know, society now, they're worried about these folk now. Anyway. So I've experienced the power of God. I've seen the power of God many times. What it is he walked before he up, and right now I believe God is upping it and increasing access to it. But understand, you're not going to gain access if you are ignoring him, if he's minimum, if he's bottom, if he's last on your list. And one of the things that tell him that you understand how this works, it's prayer. And you're like, what kind of prayer? All right. Which takes us to 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay? So we can get into the office that you have. And we're going to read it, verse 4, and it says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men," talking about Jesus, "but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." All right, and then I want to skip down to verse 9, and it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Now, let me clear some up for my new people. John 1:12, write it down. Go check it out later. It says, as many as received him, to him he gave power to become the sons of God. Everybody is the creation of God, but everybody is not the child of God. Everybody is not the family of God. A Buddhist is of the creation of God, but they are not a child of God. And there's a very, very significant I'm lost for words here. Very significant difference. That's the best I can come up with. Now you pray for them. That's your, see, this is, you know, I think I have teachings on the royal priesthood, and if you get a copy of my book, it's definitely a chapter devoted to the royal priesthood. You need to understand that even though this sound religious, understand this is the really only true life there is. See, religious is when you give God some minor acknowledgement, but you really are not committed to his will. I mean, this we're dealing with some challenges here that are far beyond what we know. See, Satan is the master of idolatry. I mean, when you look at life right now, people look at how I'm gonna just say how stupid society is. We pay useless people that are, I ain't gonna say useless, you know, because this is some, you know, they're not. Let me. I'm trying to be nice about this, but why would we pay an athlete more than a doctor and a teacher? Okay, I don't get that at all. You know, I get paying them. I do realize that the fact that they put that much effort into learning how to be an athlete, which I wouldn't want to go before God. I wouldn't really want to go before God having made myself, because none of that transitions before heaven. If you remember last week, we read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4 where this man Cornelius, his prayers and his giving came up before God. Now, I'm absolutely positively sure there are some athletes because that do that. They give, amen, they pray, you know, they are committed to God, that without question, you know, and they have a full cognizance of that. But they, you know, but understand that this society where we are now, the athletic facilities should be almost, they should be the ones shutting down instead of businesses. I mean, people are spending money, you know, and the thing about it is, I can't call God a distraction, but my attention for my hope, my joy in this crazy world is God and his word. That's where I spend the majority of my time. I mean, when Jesus come back, all this, things that we think are so significant are going to be gone. See, and for me, when I sit up and I watch the news and I see somebody committing a crime, I pray. What do I pray? I ask, I address God. God is the God of justice, because he is the God of justice. I forget the scripture. I'll look it up later. All right? God is looking at me to call, I ask God to send the Holy Spirit to the saved officers and investigators working the case and angels to help the unsaved officers and investigators working the case. They do this on my authority. And, man, I'm not the only one. Definitely, I have to make the note of that because I got some friends on Facebook that do the same thing. And I had a lot of friends at church that their pastors, there are some pastors, I'd say 10% of the pastors at minimum, teach their saints their authority in prayer. See, this is what God is expecting. And if the more of us did it, we would bring the crime rate down. The reason things are getting out of control is it's a lack of prayer. I mean, I'm not talking about walking around in a robe, with that thick cotton robe all day long mumbling something. Simply, when you're watching TV and you see a crime play, you have that authority. Now, and the thing about it, when you're spending time with God like that, if there's a reason that there's an ought before you, okay? If there's anything before you that you should correct, Jesus will tell you about it. He will tell you about it. You know, I mean, in other words, that's the other thing about spending time with God. You're not going to spend every day with God and him and you. Like I said, when I go before him, what we might not think is significant. Okay, I'm gonna get there. We're gonna go to Mark 11:20-25. Amen. Wait a minute, that is not the one I want. Let me see. Hallelujah. Mark 5:23. That's the one I want. Mark 5:23. And this is about having an issue. Okay. And, Matthew 5:23. My bad. Patient with me. I'm 71 now. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I know it's a lot of people left here. COVID took them out, and they shouldn't be. And you know what? A lot of people got taken out probably because of something like this. It says, I'm going to read verse 22. Well, I'm gonna start with 21 because I want you to get an understanding how being sensitive to God and what he desires and what he commands is tantamount to your success in anything that you're trying to do. I mean, you're trying to run your own business and you want to exceed. You not only want your house on the hill if that's what you want. Now, you know, I just want a 44-foot boat. They make, for some reason, they made it 44, not 45. But, you know, these things that exist are motivators. God understand that. He gave us all things to enjoy. That's in 1 Timothy, I believe, 6:17, the B portion. He's given us all things to enjoy. He just don't want us to make it into an idol where it's more important. If I had a boat, I guarantee you I would never be on it before church. I'd have to be ordered of God. And that would be, and I know. Will God do that? Yes. Listen, let me just as an FYI, I was on my way to church one day, and I'm driving down the road, and there was a guy sitting down at the bus, and the Holy Spirit said, go minister to him. And I'm like, I'm telling God, I'm going to be late for church if I do that. And I don't even know what they preached that day. I felt so bad because, see, we don't know when that person, that might have been the last opportunity for him to get saved. He might have been on his way to commit suicide. And I'm thinking, I'm so into me that I forgot what God needs. See, when you've been a saint a long while, you know, this is why anybody that's been at church over 2 years and you don't serve anywhere, you're not hearing God. You're missing God. You should be doing something. Be an usher. You know, ushers only serve once or twice a month. How hard is that? You know, all you do is walk people to a seat and you sit down. But that means so much to God. And that's what should be significant. Does it mean anything to God? You can put $10,000 in church but never do what God say. Your $10,000 won't do like Cornelius. Okay? Won't come up before God. He's like, I don't want to hear it. You don't do nothing else, I say. You know? But anyway, Jesus is talking. He said, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says his brother, Raka, who is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the hellfire. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Y'all been arguing. Or your wife has something against you. Your sister has something against you. Your next door neighbor has something to give you. You are clearly aware of this now. Okay? Leave your gift, therefore, in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Okay? Bottom line is, I've known from experience, it's sometimes, like I said, I remember this was decades ago, you know, I don't have to keep repeating stuff. But anyway, I had said something, my wife had asked me something, and I didn't respond as God thought I should. I was right, but it ain't how God wanted me. But like I said, he had told me, he said, that's my daughter, period. And I know I got my daughter, listen, whew, my daughter, I'd go to prison for her. She's my daughter. But anyway, most men are like that. There's some daughters or sons. I mean, I go to prison for my sons. But my daughter, she's my love, my heart. She's different. So bottom line is this, it's that learning to be continuously conscientious of the fact that you are in service to God all the time, at work, at home, anywhere, constantly. This is the continuity that we have to employ in our lives. See, and what this does is when, like I said, the weather kick up and you say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for authority, I command angels by numbers. I'm not going to get into that because people want to debate and I don't want to get them in trouble. But anyway, the fact of the matter is I have authority over the prince of the power there. But there's a continuity that I have to have. Jesus just said this. I can't come before the altar. Do you know where that altar is? It's before the throne of God. You really have to go back and research and look at what this means, being able to, if the head go to the Holy of Holies, guess where the body go? And people debate that issue. The point of the matter is, if people, a lot of times people fail at prayer because they think they can live and say and do and steal and do all this and God going to answer them. This is why they don't like church, because they got to act right. But who invited you to earth? The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Who got the rules of life? The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Man, by anybody, I've never met a person that actually read the Bible cover to cover and believe that man wrote the Bible by without God. Man, please. Man would not have put that Bible together the way it's put. And it's got the beginning before man in the middle of the Bible. What happened shortly after that at the end of the Bible and the impact of what's at the end of the Bible in the first verse of the Bible. Man couldn't have even figured that out. Man, it read like, I can't think of this movie, Pulp Fiction movie. That's one of my favorite movies. You know, I wish it would come on Turner Classic Movies because they take all the profanity out of movies. But anyway, I'm saying all this to say right now, because saints, it is not going to get better until Jesus come back. Matter of fact, when you read in the book of Revelations in chapter 12, and they talk about the woman in travail as a woman is about to have a child, and the closer we get to that new life, the worse things are going to get. I mean, it's really going to get horrendously violent. And look at what's going on now. Look at the mass shootings, how they are increasing by the year, by the day. And that is happening because in those areas, see, I don't have authority over the whole United States. I don't need, like I said, when I pray, I can only pray over my power grid. I can't protect the other power grids. Because if that was so, when I pray, you know, there would be. I've tried. It don't. Why? Because God is God. And he wants them to come to him, just like I have to come to him. See, so I'm telling you all this. You need to, like, I see your parents sending. We had this Sandy Hook event where these kids were killed. Well, you know what? That I would like to interview, I would just have to ask them parents, what did you pray, if you prayed at all? See, we are here to learn. It's natural to want to, again, I want to use the term self-rule. That's in our nature because we come from God. We came through, God made Adam. We came down through Adam's loins and we got here. But we originated there. So that nature, that God nature, God class being is natural for us. This is why this is why there's so much resistance. I mean, well, not so much, but that's why it takes God to give you a revelation that you need Jesus. Now, God can't even give an unbeliever that revelation unless a believer pray for them. It's essential. Simple. I mean, you see people pray. Yes, you're going to be praying every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you'll get unction. If you do it regularly enough, the Holy Spirit will direct you more and more and more. Because he can't do what he need to do unless we do what we need to do. All right? I hope you're getting this. Because, like I say, I don't leave out the house. I try not to. You know, you're human. You're going to forget. But God, when you're working at something, he'll give you more leeway. Okay, but for the most part, every day I leave here, I go to Kroger, I don't just leave the house. I command angels and camp around about my household, Psalm 34:7. Now, if angels automatically did that, and if enough of them automatically did that, you would think that every Christian just walking upright with God would have virtually no trouble. But that is not the case. They engage stack attacks. And when you do get it, and sometimes it takes more. Why is all this? If God apparently believes that we need to clearly understand that we will be submissive to him all of our eternity. Now let's do the math. Can God make life so it was no problems at all? Yeah, he could kill the devil in a heartbeat. He could evaporate him. He could eliminate all every demon in existence. He can set everybody man on perfect. But he don't want us to be automatons. I remember that when I first heard that. Now they call them cyborgs or what they call these things now where they putting these chips in people. You know, I thank God for my pastor. He was talking about that back in the 90s. Now they doing it. But anyway, that's what it said. And God will show you things to come. See, and we've seen this thing. That's the other thing. The Bible saw this coming. God told John about this. He told John about our era. He told John that we were going to have a cashless society. Our role is to intercede, pray. The decisions coming out of Washington, D.C., our role is to pray. Matter of fact, let's go there. Because, like I said, I have to be conscious of the new people, and they are conscious. Of what this is, they are enthusiastic to learn, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. It says, I urge, this is 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I urge. Now listen to this, he says, I urge you. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. Now, the gas prices right now, there's a couple of issues right there. One, folk been robbing God and thinking nothing of it, making excuses. They didn't want to pay tithes. I read this one article. The point of the article in the newspaper was to make people feel sympathy for this guy. I'm going to be honest with you. I was sympathetic up until, now this guy's income at that time was some $97,000 a year, all right? And that ain't even including his wife, all right? And they had all these things, these good things and deeds he did, and then it had down at the bottom his giving to his church for the whole year was $96. And I saw that, and I'm like, that's why you're struggling? Listen, I done been through, I've been Christian since 1971. I got delivered in 1976 and became my, as my friend used to say, my save got saved. Okay, God brought me in. I really totally committed and submitted. But you know, I get the tithing challenge. But if you go back and read it, God takes responsibility for the return of it. God does, not your pastor. So this crying about, I don't know what that preacher doing. Listen, keep your money. That's why you pay him. Listen, God has increased my income. He's built my income up, okay? He's making sure I get my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm getting it done, okay? I'm getting it done. This is what's going on. He's going to take care of his. Now, I'll tell you this much, though. You have to be open to more than one avenue of income. You got to have more than just your job. I mean, I know pastors that teach that you need to have more than one stream of income. You need something that God can bless beyond a contract that you are limited to in your job. Okay? I make more money. You know, I don't even drive 40 hours a week, and I make almost as much doing Uber as I'm close to. When you take away the taxes, I'm like 20% less than what I was making when I was working, and they had me working 16 hours a day for the last 4 years I was working. And I still make it. And I recently I did something. I made some purchases today, and it's just out of the kindness of their heart because I was struggling with getting it done online. I called the people and got it done, and they gave me 20% off. See, God, that's favor of God. That's the other thing about all this. All the promises of God, okay, come with conditions. And you can meet the conditions. If I can meet the conditions and I'm human, I ain't nothing super about me, you can meet the conditions too. The motivation is love for God, Matthew 22:37-38. The love for God, love for God, love, that love, agape, costs you something. That means you had to deny yourself. You had to shut your mouth when you want to say something. You had to go someplace when you don't want to go. And believe me, praying, there are times a day, during the daytime hour, it's easy for me. But getting up 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I ain't going to blame my pastor. But back in the 90s, before he started actually, you know, it's amazing. I saw him one day, and he was coming past me, and we really didn't even know each other then. And the Lord said he was a bishop. He was just a pastor then. And anyway, but he had told us to ask God for a time to pray, a time, because he wanted 24-hour prayer. And I asked God, and somehow I ended up with the morning hours, and I am not a morning person. But let me tell you about that, God. Let me tell you what you do. You got to get you. I got a list about 15 of the worship songs that you hear at the beginning of the service. Those are what I entered into his gates with thanksgiving with. That's what I do. And once you start praising God, you know, he opens up heaven's doors. He supplies you the energy to pray. He gives you, if it's something that he needs you to pray about specifically beforehand, he'll start talking to you as soon as your eyes open and you laying there trying to get your energy going, okay? And then you go ahead and you yield to God. And at the end of that, when you get down near the end, you start, don't be afraid to tell God what you want, what your desires are. And then he'll start supplying you with the revelation of how to achieve it. I'm telling you, I just don't have the space to own everything that I am going to receive. But I am going to get the space. I'm going to get everything. Because there's a time and a place for everything. And I'm going to get it. Get it done. And then, like I said, when you complete, always thank God, always thank God, always thank God, always thank God. Always. Give thanks unto God after your prayer. And if you're working, because I call my own hours now. I'm retired, so to speak, except for the ministry work. If you're working, when you lay down, ask God for rest. Say, Lord, I thank you. I believe you for rest. And I'm telling you, you will wake up rested every time. I woke up rested. See, even a doctor tell you there's a difference between sleep and rest. See, God got this thing. I'm telling you, he's God. He's God. All right. Well, I hope you learned a little something. I know I said a whole lot of little somethings. But anyway, we're going to be on this because it's critical right now. Pray for me. 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 Amen. Because like I said, I'm out there trying. I'm doing that virtually the same thing I was doing when I was working, hunting fugitives, people running from God. I ran into one the other day, you know. But, amen, their life is challenged. It's challenged because they're running from God, you know. And now it's not the time. Too many people dying. Look at all the young people that's dying now. I mean, come on, I'm 71. I had to remember I didn't add it another year. Amen. And that's happening because they're out of the God zone. They're out of the God zone. And it takes, sometimes it happens because Satan may sin. He's after some people out there that's young, have a ministry before them, and Satan is trying to kill it before it gets going. And he needs us to be able to intercede. And that's how significant. We are very important right now. There's nothing more critical right now. There's much to be done. But anyway, so to begin this process, you know, there may be some of you, you may have just stumbled onto this. It may be before the rapture, after the rapture. And you need to know what it takes to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it's a simple process. This is the easiest part of it. And that is just say this prayer, believe this prayer. You'll learn and understand it later on, but you have to believe this. This is your first move of faith. Trust God. Okay? And then the part in this prayer when you ask God forgive you, believe that. Okay? That is not going to make what happened go away. And it's not going to make people forget. Just know this, that God will forget it. I mean, forget it. Don't ask him about it again. Don't ask him to forgive you for it. If you want instruction on how to overcome a challenge, that you can do, but don't, because if you feel bad, then don't let the devil trick you with that. All right. Just say this, Lord God in heaven, I believe you. I believe in you. And I believe you sent your son to die for our sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask, Lord Jesus, for you to come into my heart and to save me now. And I ask right now, Father, for total restoration. And I thank you that I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am born again and I am restored in fellowship with the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. That's the easy part. And this is the thing. Remember, don't quit. I don't care what your situation is. You know, when I started this thing, when I got committed, I mean, I was living with a woman who is now my wife. And, I mean, that was a surprising event in and of itself. And God, yeah, he worked with me. He helped speed up the process. Whatever your situation is, if you knew you need a car to get to work, tell God to show you how to get a car. Get a good car. Don't get an old hoopty you got to be working on every day. Well, believe God. Believe God. Because, see, the thing about it is believing God out of the box. I mean, way out there. Get out there. So you'll learn. But, again, like I said, he'll direct you. He'll work on one thing at a time until you get where you need to be. He wants you to understand this life. You're not working to get to heaven. Those of you that just prayed that prayer, you're on your way. If you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. I don't care what you did in the past. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it was you do. You read through the Bible. Read the Bible. Start out in the book of Matthew. Read through. Then start to the book of Genesis. Get you one of them one-year Bible plans. Just first read it. Don't try to understand. If you got questions, send me an email, 7trainingday@gmail.com. There's lots of resources. Go to YouTube, type in whatever it is you think you need to know, intercessory prayer, and there's lots of information. And pray, whatever you do, whenever you read the Bible, pray and ask God for a revelation. Whenever you read a book about the Bible, pray and ask God for a book, for a revelation. You watch a video, ask God for a revelation. Don't just do it, okay? And with that, just remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Be blessed.
Now your presence is my treasure, never ending peace. And they can't keep me from your love, cause it'll never cease. So I pray you keep me, cause I can't keep myself. Protect me from my sin, I know I'm bad for my health. And I'm dying to know you wake me up and let me read. Drink your words, so if they cut me, this is what I bleed. Give me a double feature, give me a triple portion. I'm coming back for second, third, fourth, more, more, more. Your goodness, your mercy. Savior's worthy. Apart from him, I'm zero, zilch, not a nothing. No point in acting like I'm somebody to prove something. Open my understanding when I read the scriptures. Instill your word inside a dark and wretched, lowly sinner. Make me acquainted with your covenants and perfect plans. Humble me by showing me the world is in your hands. Lead me in the truth, wisdom, revelation. Apply your blood to my dirty soul for salvation. And help me believe.
See you.